All right, in order to start out this morning, I'd appreciate it if y'all could humor me and join in with like a little thought experiment. You can close your eyes if it helps you to imagine. You can open them, whichever helps you to imagine things. But I want you to imagine that you just had a long day. It was at work. It was off doing whatever busyness. You're tired. You're ready to go home. And you get in your car, and you know the way home. You're like, this, I got like a 25-minute drive. Soon I will be in my bed, you know, sipping my favorite drink. You get in your car, and you start heading home, and all of a sudden, you just see rows and rows of red lights in front of you because there's traffic. If you've driven on I-20, you experience this every day. Doesn't matter what time of day. It could be one. Let me tell you. The other day, I was driving home from my grandparents, and they totally closed it down. People weren't moving, and there was like no. We'll see why I'm talking about this in a moment. But how do you respond in that situation where you come up and you're like suddenly in traffic? You know, what do you do? My guess is that you're probably not going, oh, Lord, thank you. Jesus, I just praise you and thank you that you've given me this moment where I can just stop and be still and experience your love for me in this moment. You know, probably not. If you're anything like me, your reaction is similar to what I just had, where I was like, what's going on? I want to be home. I'm ready. I'm tired. You know, you go through like the five stages of grief. You're like in denial. You're like, this isn't happening to me. Why didn't it? If only I had known, I would have got off like three exits ago and like made my lap around. Or, you know, you're angry and then you're just like, okay, I guess I'm here. So I'm going to like ramp up my music, my podcast, and just tune out everything and just try to make the best of it, you know? Why do I bring this up, though? Well, if you've been here the past couple of weeks, you would know that Gary's been going through a series on teaching us how to pray and what that looks like. And today, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to abide with Jesus, where every moment is spent with him. And I would say the way you respond to interruptions, like traffic, is a good litmus test to be able to tell how well you're abiding. So Pastor Gary's been looking at John 5:19, where Jesus says that he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Jesus had a relationship with his Father where he was in constant communion, constant relationship with him. And that's what we're invited into with Jesus and the Father, the Trinity. It's crazy. Okay. Jesus didn't die on the cross. He didn't bear. I love what Steve was saying earlier, how Jesus took the blame that we deserved, bore our penalty on the cross, died, rose again in victory, and offers us newness of life. He didn't do that just so that we could enjoy him forever in heaven one day. He did that so that today, now, at work, at school, wherever, you can know God personally and enjoy his presence and just soak in the reality that you're loved by God. And so, today we're going to be talking about that, because this is the kind of relationship that I'm talking about is where you look at a tree and you're just like, wow, God, yes, you know, it's got colors. I can see colors, you know, you made it. It's the kind of relationship where when stresses come, when difficulties happen at work, you're tired, you just don't have the ability or you don't feel you have the ability to love people well, and you just, it's everything's just too much for you. It's the kind of relationship where you take that to the Lord and process through those emotions with him and experience his strength to be able to love those around you. The kind of relationship where good works and victory over sin flow naturally from you because they're flowing from a place of deep and intimate knowledge of your Lord and Savior, the King of the universe, who is holy, 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 Jesus, who somehow has decided to know us intimately and call us his friends. However, it can be challenging. From my experience, yes, I've been experimenting with this my whole life. No, from my experience with seeking and pursuing an abiding relationship with Jesus, the number one enemy to it that I've noticed is my busyness and my hurry. I started working as an engineer several months ago, and I thought I was good at abiding until I started working 40 hours a week. And you know, you're working 40 hours a week. I had evening events, you know, every spare moment I'm filling with, like, I don't even have social media, but I'm like, I have email, you know, I can check my text. Who knows? I have any excuse. I'm like filling up gas. I can't do this. You know, I got to have something occupying my attention. We're busy and we're hurried and we're always listening to something, music or a podcast, where there's just no chance to just stop and enjoy God. And I mean, I don't even have kids. I can't even imagine what it's like to have everything that you've got going on. You get home and there's a tiny human in front of you that, like, wants to be fed, you know, needs some love or something like that. As someone who was a child, thank you, mom and dad, for caring for me. I would literally not be here today if you hadn't. Okay, so that is good to do. But the reality is that there's so many distractions. There's so many things, and for parents, you have kids, you know, it's busy and our mind is full and we just don't have the time to just be still and know God. So how do we combat that? Well, luckily for us, or blessed for us, is that Jesus has the answer, because Jesus was a busy guy, and he may not have had kids, but he had Peter, you know? He had 12 disciples who were following him around and being like, Jesus, give me attention, you know, talk to me. And so I feel like that's probably the equivalent of having 12 kids. And who knew else, how many more people that were trying to vie for his attention. And so he was busy. I read through all the Gospels in preparation for this, and I never realized how just like consistently busy he is. There's 14 chapters just in the book of Matthew where there is no break in between them. And it's just like, Jesus did this, and then he did this. And on his way to this thing, he was interrupted, and this happened. And then he went over here and here and here. And yet, in every moment, despite all the busyness, every time an interruption arose, Jesus was fully present for the human soul in front of him. He was fully aware of their need and met them where they were. He wasn't frustrated. He didn't get upset with the fact that, like, he's trying to get somewhere and someone's, like, trying to grab his attention. He was present for it. And I think a perfect example of that is the story of Jesus and the woman who had a bleeding problem. And the way the story goes in the Bible is that a synagogue official comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, my daughter is dying. Please come and heal her. I know you can, so I need you to come and heal her. And Jesus says, lead the way. And so they're going, there's a crowd, and there's a woman with a bleeding problem that thinks, if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And she's right, she touches his garment and is healed. Jesus, though, feeling power come out of him, is like, stops everything. It's like, who touched me, you know? And he's looking for this woman, he finds the woman, and he meets her where she's at, and he says, your faith has made you well, go in peace. Now, if I'm the synagogue official, I'm saying, why are we stopping? My daughter is dying now, Jesus. I need you to come with me and heal her, because she could die at any moment. But that's not Jesus' concern. His concern is to do what he sees his father doing. And his father has brought before him this woman in the form of an interruption, a life or death situation, an interruption in the midst of that, and Jesus meets her and loves her in the way the father wanted him to. And then word comes that the daughter died. And I would be thinking, Jesus, if she was healed, you could have found her later, you know? You should have gone to the daughter and healed her. But again, that's not what he saw his father doing. And we serve a God who brings the dead to life, and so he brought that daughter back to life, and everything ended well. But I bring up this story because Jesus responds so well to interruption. It's amazing. I don't understand it. Like, no matter what's happening, like, so many of our favorite stories in Scripture about Jesus probably flow from an interruption. the paralytic being airdropped in through the roof, you know, that was Jesus' teaching, and boom, interruption. Or a question that leads to a teaching we love, like a question asked, and now Jesus is telling the story of the Good Samaritan. All of this is coming from interruptions in the midst of Jesus' busyness. And he responds with love and grace each and every time. And I would say it's because he knows how to abide in his Father. And so, let's take a look at what Jesus has to say and some things he models for us so that we can try to imitate him in this. First up, we're going to read John 15, which says, starting in verse 1, this is Jesus speaking, not me, Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So the first question is, what does it mean to abide? Some versions translate abide as remain, but the word simply means to live. The place you live is your abode. It's the place you go to rest and be re-energized. It's the place you find your source of life, your source of joy, your source of peace. And I would say that there are two senses in which someone can abide in Jesus. The first is that the moment you experience salvation, you live in the same house as Jesus. You abide with him. You know him, and yeah, you just are abiding with him. But I think there's a deeper sense in which you can enjoy a deep abiding relationship with Jesus that not everyone who shares an abode with Jesus enjoys. And so an example of this would be, I live with a buddy of mine named Ethan. He was here first service, so now I can talk smack about him. But but I'm joking. I love this brother in Christ. We have such life-giving fellowship. It's always just so refreshing whenever I spend time around him. And I'm so glad that we share an abode together. We live in the same house as one another. However, there are times when I go weeks without seeing him. You know, I'm busy, my door is closed, he's busy, whatever's going on. And even though we share a place of residence, we aren't communicating. We aren't enjoying relationship. Now, I can hear him, you know, walking down the hallways sometimes. Sometimes, you know, he kicks down the door and is like, look at me, I live here too, you know. But then he goes out and I close the door and we're back to where we were. And I think the same is true for Jesus. We live in the same house as Jesus, but sometimes we're busy, we're hurried, and we close the door. And we can hear him, you know, walking. Sometimes he kicks down the door and goes, look at me, you know, I'm here too. And then as he walks out, we're like, yeah, close the door on the way out, you know. I'm hurried, you know. And so a good way to kind of tell if you're enjoying an abiding relationship with Jesus is to ask yourself, where do you find your source? If you're a branch, then what's your vine? When you've had a long day at work and you need to find rest and peace and renewed strength, where do you go? When you have nothing to do or are waiting in a drive-thru or filling up gas, where does your mind wander? Do you feel the need to fill that time with something? What's that thing you want to fill the time with? When you're stressed out, when you're having hard conversations, when the cares of life are weighing you down, where do you go? Do you go to a sin habit, alcohol, porn, anger, pride, anything? Do you go to a screen, some form of entertainment, social media, the news, I don't know. Do you go to a relationship, a significant other, a mentor, a child? Or do you go to Jesus? Well, the challenge is that we should always go to Jesus. The problem is it's not easy. I'm currently struggling and wrestling with the reality that I am not good at abiding in Jesus. I get distracted, I get busy, and before I know it, I'm here with y'all again on Sunday. The week has passed, and I can't even remember the last time I just sat in God's presence and enjoyed him. Like, sure, I'm trying to talk to him throughout the day. When was the last time I just sat and soaked in his love for me and was transformed by knowing him? Because the reality is we all abide in something. Whether it's Jesus or our work or entertainment or wherever you go, you're abiding in something. And a big reason that we want to abide more like Jesus or abide in Jesus is because the thing you abide in is where you find, or where you find your source is who you become. So whatever or whoever you look to for your source of life, whatever, influences who you become, who you are becoming. And the reality is, as we look to Jesus more and more and then just enjoy his presence and draw deeply from the vine, the connection we have to him, we become more like him. Ephesians 5:1 says that as beloved children, we are to be imitators of God. What does that mean? Well, a child becomes like their parents simply because the sheer amount of time they spend with them. They watch them, they see their parents respond to situations, they see their parents' little mannerisms, they see their parents do whatever, and they grow up and start to imitate those things because they're just watching it. They're taking it in and reproducing it. And it's not just parents to kids. In youth the other day, we talked about how you are the combination of your five closest friends. The five people you spend the most time influence who you are. And the same is true for God. The more we sit in his presence and know him, the more we become like him, which is why you bear fruit. Because as we become more like Jesus, we do what he did and act like he did and say what he said, and Jesus is the definition of bearing fruit. And so the more you become like Jesus, the more you bear fruit, which is why you have to abide in him in order to bear fruit. And it's why when you don't abide in him, you cannot bear fruit, because you're becoming more like whatever your source is, whatever it is. And a good way to tell, because the question here is, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? And a way to tell if something is pointing you to Jesus or making you less like Jesus is whenever you go to that source, that thing, that person, whatever, do you leave that time more aware of the love of God for you? Do you leave that time being like, oh, you know, it could be I experienced fellowship and I just, that fellowship reminded me of how good Jesus is because he made fellowship, or maybe you're hanging out with friends and you're like, man, I'm just discouraged and they tore me down and I'm just tired, you know? Who are you becoming? Because I don't know about y'all, but I want to be more like Jesus. He's pretty cool. All right, this is great. We've defined so far what it means to abide, and we've looked at why it can be so beneficial. There are lots of reasons, but we looked at one. But now you're probably asking, okay, how? Because it's great to know what it is, why it is, but if we don't know how, then we're just like, okay, that's cool. Thank you, Elijah. See you never. Okay. But for the rest of the time that we have together, my goal is to give y'all some things I've been learning from the scriptures to help you practically take steps to abide more in Jesus. And of course, we're going to look at Jesus, what he says and what he does as an example. So the next passage is John 6:53-57, which says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me.'" Now, this is clearly talking about salvation. You must know Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you cannot abide in him. You have to have seen and experienced the reality of his love for you poured out on the cross, seen your old ways and said, I don't want those ways anymore, repented and been like, Jesus, I just want you, and believe that his death and resurrection was enough to buy your salvation and make him Lord of your life, or else you cannot abide in him. It's impossible. But this is mainly talking about salvation. I think it also gives us a hint into how we can have an abiding relationship with Jesus. Because what did we do earlier? Steve led us in a great time of taking communion, where we take the bread and the cup, which represents his body and blood, and symbolically eat his body and blood. Now, that doesn't save us each time we take it, but it is a time of remembrance. And I love that this church does it every Sunday, because during those times, I see it as a time to remember. Because I'm reminded, I need to be remembering the reality of Jesus Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, not just on Sunday. We don't take it to just be like, all right, you remembered for this week. Go and be fruitful. No, it's a reminder to remember. And when I say remembrance, I mean like calling it to mind, reminding ourselves daily, bringing it to mind, because of course we all remember what Jesus has done for us. But when, speaking of remembrance, my alarm's going off. It says, Christ set you free on the cross, so go and tell people. I have set on my phone alarms from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every hour. And when they go off, they have that little word that reminds me about who Jesus is and what he's done, so that in the midst of my day, I can get those little interruptions and check them and be like, this is a good interruption. This is an interruption bringing me into abiding relationship. And shout out to my brother, because it was his idea first and I just copied him. But we need to be intentional about remembering, calling it to mind, because as we remember, oh, Jesus, this is what you did for me. This is who I was, and this is who I am now because of what you've done. It's a lot harder to sin and to be fester in anger and bitterness and all that sort of stuff because you're remembering how great Jesus is. And so for you, it may not look like alarms. It could look like anything. But whatever it is, make sure that you're talking about Jesus with your friends, your spouse, your kids, or anyone who will listen. Write it down. Pin it up. On your workspace, in your house, wherever. Make sure it's the last thing you think about before you sleep, and Jesus is the first thing you think about when you wake up. Which means that I revoke the credit I gave to Isaiah and give it to God, because this is what he said in Deuteronomy 6. He told us to do this because he knows we're human, and if we're not constantly calling it to mind, we're going to forget. And I call it spiritual entropy. It's not a theological term. It's probably not fully true. But whenever you are focused on Jesus, you have to keep that up consistently, or you'll naturally decline and go back into a little more like you were before Christ. You'll start giving in and giving ground more to how you were before. But as you're constantly bringing to remembrance, it's easy to continue to walk in step with God. And a practical way to do this is to memorize scripture. All it takes is one verse a week. One verse, it doesn't have to be long. If you want to do Jesus wept for your verse this week, do it, okay? But when we memorize scripture, it's so helpful, because instead of like just write it on a note card and you can pull it out instead of your phone whenever you're like filling up gas, you know, when you're waiting in line at Chick-fil-A and you know it's a 2-minute wait and for some reason we have to fill 2 minutes up with something. Instead of pulling out your phone and checking the news or whatever, you can pull out the scripture and read it and be reminded of truth. And because Jesus is the word, that means you're dwelling in him as you remember his word. And so go memorize some scripture. And after a year, that's 52 verses. That's so much. And plus, you know, you can use that. It's on lock now when you have it memorized. It's just so, it's so good for so many reasons, but it really helps to practically abide in Jesus. All right, we're going to move on to the next thing. It's a story of how Jesus models abiding for us. So for this, we're going to open up to Mark 1:29, which says, And immediately after they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and they immediately spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she served them. Now when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and prayed there for a time. Simon and his companions eagerly searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And here we kind of see a little bit of that pattern I was talking about earlier, where immediately, you know, Jesus is doing thing, he's healing, and it's going late into the night that he's healing. But in verse 35, we see that even in the midst of all this busyness, all this stuff happening, he still makes it a point to wake up before everyone else in the early morning, go to a mountain, and pray. So what do we learn from this? First of all, Jesus made it a priority to spend time with God. To abide in God doesn't mean, or abiding in God isn't confined to like a set time of personal time with the Lord. However, abiding with God flows from a set time of abiding with the Lord. It's a lot harder to live in a constant state of knowing God when you're not spending time with the Lord. And so we see Jesus does this. And I just want to say, Jesus is so worthy of our time. He is the King of the universe, the Creator God who crafted you in your mother's womb, and then he sent his son Jesus to die in your place and rise again to victory so that he might have relationship with you, and this is the love he pours out on you. He is worth it. He is worth it if we're up late. He is worth it to miss some sleep and wake up and to spend time with him. Now, I know, trust me, I know that work in the morning, you're like, oh, but you don't know, I just have to get to work on time, you know, all this stuff. That's okay, I get it. He's worthy of 5 minutes. He's worthy of the first 5 minutes when you wake up. Instead of going for that phone, the alarm, my alarm is my phone, and I throw it across the room so that when the alarm goes off, I wake up and I turn it off and I like run away so I can spend time with the Lord. Instead of like checking your phone as soon as you wake up, or the news, or whatever it is, wake up, spend 5 minutes, and just soak in his presence. Set the standard for the day before you go out into the busyness again. And then you can have your time with the Lord later. But he's worth it. It should be a priority in our lives. Another thing is it was still dark before Jesus went to pray. I don't know how many of y'all are up before sunrise, but it feels like the whole world holds its breath right before as it waits for the sun to rise. I've only experienced this because I've stayed up all night, which is not a good reason, but the whole world holds its breath. It's so still and quiet. When was the last time we were still and silent? For me, it's not often. I always feel the need to have some sort of song, some sort of podcast, some sort of thing I'm doing or looking at, because whenever I'm still and silent, that's when all the things I've been like trying to not think about come to my mind, and I'm forced to process through them. I'm forced to think about those things. And the reality is when you're abiding with Jesus, you're not processing through them alone. You're able to process through those things with the Lord. So when I drive to work, I make sure I have no music, no podcast, no nothing. I just let my thoughts come and go as they will, and I take them to the Lord. I'm like, I'll often think, oh, this is frustrating me right now. So I can be like, Lord, why is this frustrating me? Make me more like you. It's worth it. And it's hard because, yeah, silence can sometimes be deafening, but it's so much better to process through things with the Lord than to just ignore them, because that's when they build up and you bottle it up and then it's horrible because it all explodes all at once. But when you're processing through it with the Lord, you can alleviate that. Another big benefit of silence is it's in silence that you grow in awe for God. It's in silence when there's no distraction, you're just sitting there, you and God, that you can see something and be like, wow, God, you designed that, you made that. In fact, it was in silence and solitude the first time I saw a branch. It was like a little bush, a little stringly little thing with little leaves going off, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, my eyes, I have eyes that see color. There's color that's green, you know, God made it all, and I get to enjoy it. And I was only able to enjoy it because I just sat still with God, and I wasn't like occupied by things, so I was just looking around, and I saw those leaves. And then finally, Jesus changed his location. He went to a mountain to pray. And I think this is helpful because our minds can get comfortable with certain places, and it makes it difficult to get into doing the thing we're intending to. Perfect example is if you've ever worked from home or done homework or whatever, if you're lying on your bed working, you're not going to be very productive, right? You're going to be relaxed. You're going to be like, oh, you know, I'll like work every once every 30 minutes or something. But whenever you set a workspace aside or you go to a coffee shop, you can be a lot more productive because you trick your mind into being like, "This, I'm here to work." But your mind already thinks like bed is a place to rest. I think the same is true for prayer. Like if we set aside a place and say that's a place where we want to pray, it's easier for our mind to get into that. Now, it's okay to like lie on bed and pray if your intention is to take a nap with the Lord, you know, which I think is a spiritual thing. Elijah in the Bible did it. The Lord was like, you know what? You need a nap, you know? So if you're taking a nap with the Lord, amen, hallelujah, do it. But if you're seeking deep, intimate, soaking relationship with Jesus, make a space or go leave your house, I don't know, where you can go and meet with your Creator. And so I have an example from my life about these three things and how true they are. Just from this past week. So this past week, it was one of the hardest days I've had in a long time. Very difficult. I was frustrated. I was stressed. My coworkers were discouraging me. I was having meetings, and the meetings were discouraging, and I was just tired. I was doing a bad job of abiding in the Father. Instead of taking things to Jesus, I was like, if I just drown it out with like music and podcasts and just get my work done, I'll be good. And then I'm driving home and traffic, you know, I wonder where that image came from. And I ran into traffic and I was just not having it. And I get home and I'm sitting in my car and I'm literally thinking to myself, okay, if I go inside right now, I'm going to continue distracting myself. I'm going to continue to try to numb this and ignore what's going on. So I could go for a walk. And so I went for a walk. Just around the neighborhood I live in. It's a very nice neighborhood. It's nice because it has trees. I love trees. Trees are my love language. And so I was just walking along, and I was taking all these things to the Lord. I was like, Lord, I'm frustrated. I'm tired. Lord, I just want to sleep. You know, give me a snack. I'll take a spiritual nap even. You know, but I was just done. And so I'm walking and I'm walking. I don't feel the Lord say anything. I'm just walking silent. And suddenly I'm aware. My feet make a sound every time I take a step, you know? Every time I take a step, there's a little noise that comes out. And I started walking on different things. I was like, oh, what's it sound like walking on the grass? What about branches? What about leaves? And as I'm walking, I can't help but imagine God, you know, in the studio cooking, and he's making all these sick beats. I mean, he did creation. He's like, oh, when you're wearing this kind of material and you step on this thing, it's going to sound like this. And when you step on this other thing, it's going to sound like this, you know? And God's like having a great time coming up with all these sounds. And I'm just like, yes, this is good. Then I start hearing the birds. And I'm like, oh, praise God. He made the bird sounds too. And then I hear an AC unit. And the only reason an AC unit sounds the way it does is because God designed the things inside of it to make the noise it does when used in that application. And I was like, this is awesome, you know? And naturally, I go from like hearing things to being like, wow, this grass is green, you know, running my hand through it, looking at the trees. And then all of a sudden, I'm aware that I'm not alone. I may be in solitude, but I'm not alone. Jesus is there, walking alongside me, not physically, but he's walking alongside me going, you hear that? Yeah, I made that. I was the one in the studio cooking, you know? You see that? I made that. And he didn't like say anything to me about the feelings I brought to him, but just seeing and being aware of his presence and being like, this is the king of the universe and he's my friend. He cares. My stress just dissipated. My frustration, it was gone. And I had a wonderful evening, all because I did the three things that Jesus modeled for us. I made it a priority. I was like, I need this. And so I'm not going to go and do what I want to do. I'm going to carve out this time to spend with Jesus. And then I was silent. I talked to the Lord a little bit, you know, but for most of it, I just walked in silence. And he met me there. And I did not go inside my house, but I went somewhere where I knew that I would be intentional in prayer. And I enjoyed just soaking in his love and presence. So this week, your homework is to go look at some leaves until you're just so in awe of God that you can't help but praise him. I'm just kidding. But for real, take some time, make it a priority to go and just walk. Or, I don't know, just sit and be aware that there is a God with you that loves you and cares about you and is present with you. All right, so we're going to wrap up now. And I just want to say that I'm saying everything now, knowing full well that it's not easy. Distractions are distracting for a reason. And I've been growing it. It's kind of a toss-up on any given day, whether I'll abide in Jesus or just give in to busyness and hurry and distraction. But the reality is that I've noticed, it's crazy how I notice this and still can't be consistent, that whenever I'm giving in to busyness and hurriness, like I may feel physically rested, but my spirit and my mind are never refreshed. In fact, they just get more and more tired, and I notice myself becoming less kind, less gracious, less patient. My coworkers, people I run into, more prone to get frustrated during an interruption. But whenever I'm abiding in Jesus, that's when I'm not just physically, spiritually, and mentally, I'm rejuvenated. I'm ready to go, you know? I'm praising God, you know? I'm throwing some hallelujahs in the workplace. And and it's so good. When people are saying things that could offend me or frustrate me, I'm just like, Lord, I love you. There's something going on in their heart that I want to minister to, but this doesn't have to upset me because I'm walking in step with the Spirit. It's so beautiful and it's so worth it. So I hope that during this time, you know, I've been trying to give practical things that can be done. So my hope is that this week, each and every one of us would find one thing, one practical thing we can do to abide a little more in Jesus than we did last week. Could be scripture memory, it could be looking at trees, it could be going on a walk, sitting with the Lord in silence, just whatever it is, something. Maybe it's something the Lord is like, you need to do this because I know your personality and this works perfectly for your personality. And so, with that in mind, I'm going to pray, and while I pray, I'm going to leave some room for silence with the goal that y'all would ask the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do this week to abide in you a little more, and then go and do that thing. Because as you do, you're going to become more like Jesus. The goal is that, not that we just be like, oh, this is such a good relationship for me and you, Jesus. The goal is that we get transformed through it, and then as we go about life, we're people of abiding love, that it can't be ignored when people interact with us.